Praise the Lord, church. How are we doing on this wonderful Wednesday evening here at Calvary Gospel Church? Can we give the Lord a hand clap right now of praise? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got to get some blood flowing. Amen. Mothers of newborns are like, no, bro, slow it down. Praise God. It's so exciting to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And we're excited about what God is going to do here tonight. And we're going to go before the Lord right now, and we're going to pray. And I want to invite anybody who has a special need, if you could just slip your hand up right now. Praise God. And if you see somebody with their hand up, you feel led by God to pray with them, we're just going to pray for those needs. We also want to remember our Bible quizzers. We love our Bible quizzers. Amen. Praise God. We have some young people who are in Branson right now. They're having the time of their lives. But we want God to connect and intervene with them. And we want God's word to continue to anchor in them. And we want God to have his way. Amen. Praise God. We want to pray for this service tonight. Amen. That's you and me. We want God to move right now. And we also want to pray and remember our dear brother James Hawk tonight as he is battling the cancer that is in his body. We just want to pray and continue to ask God to bind up this cancer, amen, to heal his body, and we want to thank God for what he's going to do, amen. Praise God. So let's close our eyes. Well, let's pray together right now. Lord Jesus, we love you, God. We thank you, God, that we can be here tonight, Lord God. We thank you, God, that we can be in your presence in a church that preaches the truth. God, in your presence, Lord God, hallelujah. There is a place in the Bible that talk about the Holy of Holies, Lord. And in that place, Lord God, there was only a small window where people could go in your presence. God, we can be here tonight in your presence, and we rejoice for the ability to do that. God, we want to pray, God, that you would move upon our quizzers, Lord. We pray, God, that you would move upon them. I pray, God, that you would touch them and help them, Lord God. Keep them safe, and Lord God, bring them home safely, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask God that you'd be with Brother Hawk, Lord. We pray, God, that you would continue to heal his body, and we thank you for what you're doing in his life. We thank you, God, for the miracle, God, that you're going to perform in his life, Lord, in Jesus' name. And God, we just pray that you would touch this service tonight. I pray, God, that you would touch Brother Bryce as he ministers, God. I pray, God, that you would move upon him, Lord, and God, that you would minister through him, Lord. God, that you, Lord God, would speak to each and every one of us here tonight. And I pray, God, that we would take, God, what you have given to us and apply it to our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. We had a good time last Sunday with Brother Morton Bussard. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you had a good time? Amen. We love Brother Bussard, and we love the ministry that God is doing through him. Praise God. It's always good when somebody steps up and says, you know, I want to be used of you, God, and they step out by faith, and God's used them, and we're thankful for that. Amen. Praise God. If you're a guest here today, we want to welcome you. Pastor Roy is not here. Sister Lois is having some little bit of vertigo issues, so we want to pray for her too. I didn't remember that. But we also want to just ask that Pastor has some family in town, and he's with them currently, and so we told him, take the night off, please. So we just kept him out of here, but no, I'm just kidding. But just be with Pastor. Welcome on behalf of Pastor. And we also have some announcements. This Sunday, everyone say time change. There is a ladies' discipleship meeting taking place in the fellowship hall. And there's a time change. Now it is at 4 p.m., so at 4 p.m., ladies, if you want to attend this, meet in the fellowship hall right here at Calvary Gospel Church at 4 p.m. And men, we have a service, a grill out at 6 p.m. at Marvin Renvick's home. And we are encouraging everyone to bring a chair, bring a meat to grill, and bring a friend. Amen? Praise God. As far as giving, the Bible says give and it shall be given. I'm not going to go crazy into that, but thank you, God. How many of you have been blessed by God's giving? Amen? Amen. Well, we have some giving options. We have an offering box in the kiosk. You can mail in your offering or go to our website and give through the church app, our church center. So those are some ways you can give. Praise God. And I'm going to get out of the way and let Brother Dan take it away. We love Brother Dan. Amen?
Hallelujah. Faith can move mountains. Mountains of fear and of doubt. Oh, faith can move mountains. So
how many remember that song? Oh.
give you my life. Oh, give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great, great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. 'Cause I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. And I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh will fail, but my God, you never will. 'Cause I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. And I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. And give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Give you my life. And give me strength to trust what you say, that you're good and love, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. You believe it? There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Come on, young people. There is power in Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, to break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain. Oh, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. And there's an army, I didn't know. Oh, there's an army rising up. And there's an army rising up to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. And I hear the chains falling, yeah. And I hear the chains falling, oh yeah. I hear the chains falling. To break every chain, 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 break every chain. And there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. And it'll break every chain, 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 break every chain. Let's worship him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
How many believe that tonight, that there's an army rising up in this hour? We've been presented with quite a big goal from our pastor, and it's going to take an army rising up. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to give a little background here. Today we're going to be talking about Joseph. Now, Joseph's father was Jacob, and Jacob had worked 7 years for his wife Rachel. But when the time was come up and he went to get married, the father had given him his eldest daughter Leah instead of Rachel. But because Jacob loved Rachel so much, he worked another 7 years so that he could marry Rachel. Now, Rachel was the favorite wife, and they couldn't have a child for a while, but after some years, the scripture says that God opened Rachel's womb, and she bore a son and named him Joseph. The firstborn child of Rachel and Jacob's favorite son. You can imagine knowing that your father had a favorite wife, and that he had a favorite son from that wife, it could drive a wedge in the family. Rachel later passed away when she was giving birth to Benjamin, but nevertheless, the other brothers knew Joseph was the favorite. In Genesis 37, Joseph is 17 years of age, and he's pastoring the flock. Go to verse 3, please. Israel loved Joseph more than any of his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. I'm reading from the ESV, so it's slightly different, by the way. Jealousy and anger rose up in the hearts of Joseph's brothers, and they began to hate him because he was the favorite. So Joseph, walking around in his coat of many colors, has a dream that he thought would be a good idea to share with them being his brothers. Joseph thought it would be a good idea to reveal his dream, that his older brothers would bow to him. His brothers already hated him. Verse 6 says, he said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheave arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bound down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And if that wasn't a bad idea in itself, he has yet another dream in verse 7. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground for you, before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. So the brothers, frustrated by this dream, get this idea. They already hated Joseph anyways. Maybe they thought it was time the favorite got brought back to reality. Maybe they were so frustrated by him implying that he would be greater than them, that he would bow down, they would bow down to him Well, one thing is for sure, they were so frustrated that they were going to take these matters into their own hands. They saw, verse 18 says, they saw him from afar off, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, let us not take his life. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore. And they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then as the brothers are eating, they come up with this great plan to get some money for him. And they sell him for 20 shekels of silver. I'm going to paraphrase now. Here's a boy who goes from being the favorite, having God-given dreams, to being a common slave. The brothers had decided that they wanted Joseph out of the family. He had a dream, and as a result of it, his brothers hated him and wanted nothing to do with him. At this point of his dream, of his brothers bowing down to worship him, it's completely gone. And he is the one who has suffered at the hands of his brothers. In chapter 39, we find Joseph is sold into slavery yet again, but to the house of a man named Potiphar. Genesis 39, verses 3 through 6, says, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended to him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and field. Verse 6 says, so he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. His divine favor showed up despite being sold into slavery, and the Lord blesses him even as a slave. Joseph was in charge of all that Potiphar had. Maybe that dream was starting to come alive again for Joseph. Verse 7 says, Potiphar's wife looks at him and gets interested. I'm paraphrasing again. And tries to get him to hang out with her. She's quite forward. She uses the word, lie with me. And Joseph refuses this request time and time again until one day she catches him alone. He refuses yet again, and she takes his garment. It tells a story that he was trying to get with her, and she screamed out for help and left, and he left. And when Potiphar hears this story, his anger was kindled, and he took Joseph to prison. Despite all the blessings that Potiphar got from Joseph being there, after this story, he takes Joseph to prison. It's worth noting he should have been killed. So perhaps because of all the blessings, he received some type of mercy from Potiphar. But from being the favorite and having dreams from God of being the greatest of the brothers to being sold into slavery, then sold again, finding favoritism to now being accused of an act he didn't even commit and being locked up in prison. He lost his robe and was sold into slavery, and now he lost his garment and is put into prison. The Bible never says Joseph did anything wrong to deserve this. He was a leader in Potiphar's house, getting management experience, and here he is back in yet another impossible situation. Well, in Potiphar's house, there were many blessings and a good life that seemed, but now here he is in jail. Turn with me again to Genesis 39. Verses 21 through 23. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prisoner paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to succeed. Now, even at the bottom of the barrel, it seemed in prison, he starts finding favor with God, even here. The Lord was causing him to succeed, but to be honest, in his state of life, even though he had some blessings, it's still far off from the dreams that he had. I can only imagine he had been thinking of those dreams in his state, trying to find a way to bring it to pass. Joseph didn't have a Bible to go off of, so the only thing he had was whatever he could work out through his own prayer and meditation. I can only imagine the frustration he could have been experiencing, seeing how far off reality was from his dream. Now in prison, Jacob finds Pharaoh's cupbearer and his baker. They both have dreams, and Jacob interprets each of them. To the cupbearer, his dream interpreted was good. He would be restored in 3 days. But to the baker, not so much. He was at the end of his life, and he actually got killed as a result of what he had done. Now, when he gave the good news to the cupbearer that he would be restored, Joseph told the cupbearer to remember him. He said, "Remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh." This was Pharaoh's cupbearer. I don't know if I said that, but it was Pharaoh's cupbearer. "And so get me out of this house, for I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here I am. I have done nothing wrong that they should put me into this pit." So it came to pass, Joseph interpreted his dream, but the Bible says the cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Joseph, in a desperate attempt, thought, maybe if I can go do good for somebody, I can work my way out of here. And so he pleaded with this cupbearer, trying to see if this is what could lead him to freedom. Now, it has been 2 whole years after that interpretation, and Pharaoh has a dream. Pharaoh's dream, there were 7 cows, fat and healthy, then 7 skinny. The 7 skinny cows ate the 7 healthy cows and still remained skinny. And then he had a dream again that there were 7 ears full and healthy and 7 ears thin and blithe. And the 7 thin ears swallowed up the healthy. In chapter 41, verses 8, "In the morning his spirit, when he woke up, his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all wise men. Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh." Now is when the cupbearer finally remembers Joseph 2 years later. The cupbearer tells Pharaoh that there was a Hebrew in prison who was able to interpret his dream. Now he remembers after 2 years. And God gave Joseph the ability to interpret Pharaoh's dream, and that was that famine was coming. There would be 7 good years, followed by 7 bad. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, "You should save a fifth of all the produce from the good years so that you will have enough to make it through the bad years." He told Pharaoh that he needed to appoint someone wise and discerning to set him over the land of Egypt. I just noticed he never said, "Appoint me." Never mentioned himself. "Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseas over the land." And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this? In whom is the spirit of God?" This is verse 38. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards to the throne will I be greater than you." It's a big role. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. now rather than getting his garments taken away. He's given garments by Pharaoh. After all that, the dream now seems to be coming. It's interesting that he gets his recognition and authority from Pharaoh of Egypt. See, it didn't matter that Joseph's brothers tried to kill him. It didn't matter that Potiphar's wife lied about him, which, by the way, was a crime punishable by death. Despite the circumstances, despite the plans and deception, what God willed to come to pass did, in fact, come to pass. And against all odds, Joseph finds himself in a position for the dream to come to life. Genesis 41:46 says Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. 30 years old. He was 17 at the start of this story. Over the course of 13 years, all this happened to Joseph. And he didn't even get to see his brothers until 7 years after the good years, where the famine came. So here Joseph is at around 37 years old, and finally his brothers show up looking for food. When his brothers showed up, they bowed in front of him, and he acted as if he didn't even know who they were. He asks about his brother, Benjamin. He wasn't there. He says, if you come back, bring your brother, or don't come at all, and hides their money in their sacks and sends them away with their food. And they come back later with Benjamin. I'm going to paraphrase again. It's a lot of scripture. Thanks for holding on for all this. I'll paraphrase this part of the story, but when he revealed who he was to his brother in Genesis 45, it says he wept so loud that the Egyptians heard him. He wept so loud that the Egyptians heard him. Everyone in Pharaoh's house heard about it. Verse 3, Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. So they did, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, who you sold into Egypt. But don't be angry with yourselves because you sold me here. God sent me ahead of you to save many lives. Verse 6, for 2 years there hasn't been enough food, and for 5 more years nobody is going to be plowing. But God sent me ahead of you to keep some of you alive on earth. He sent me to save your lives by an act of mighty power. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So it wasn't you who sent me, but God. The story of Joseph is about providence. This message, my title is God's Providence, a story about how God can will whatever he may to bring about his divine will if you stay faithful. What gets lost in this story is the amount of time spent before the dream was fulfilled. Joseph used his God-given abilities to be used in whatever state he was placed in. In each step of the way, God used him where he was at the... He used each step of the way to train him for the next. Well, what I find interesting is that I can't find any resistance towards Joseph or for Joseph towards God using those abilities in whatever state he was in, regardless of whether or not it was his dream or not. Another thing I find interesting is that the dream and what happened is so small compared to the reality of what he was doing. His initial dream was never to be in Potiphar's house. Yet he accepted the responsibility and used it as a stepping stone to gain the experience necessary to reach the next. Had Joseph rejected his abilities, he would have never gotten the experience he needed. Also, the talents and abilities he had are also what God used to get him where he was as second to Pharaoh. God gave him all that he needed to start his journey and also to help him gain the experience necessary to be used at the capacity his dream required. The dream wasn't the job, though. This man was working for Potiphar. He was working for a prison, and he was working for Pharaoh. The dream that took place was nothing like that from the day-to-day grind. The day-to-day operation was not the dream. These men had him working, had him managing, had him helping and directing every place he went to. You can't just run with Pharaoh with no leadership experience. So he was on a training course of action directly appointed by God to become who he was called to be. Just because you have a dream that isn't like the ministry you feel you have been placed in does not mean that what you're doing isn't a stepping stone to get experience to propel you to the place where the end dream can come true. Don't get frustrated for feeling like your brothers abandoned you. Don't get frustrated if you feel like you're in a pit. Don't get frustrated if you had dreams of greatness and you're stuck in Potiphar's house. I'm here to tell somebody tonight that where you are is a place of growth for you to gain experience necessary to become what God is leading you to be. The measure of impact Joseph had, he could have killed his very own brothers, but he didn't. He preserved them and forgave them. He lifted them up out of the shame of their actions and saw the big picture. He saw the purpose of why he had to go. Had he never been in Egypt, the nation of Israel would have died of starvation. But since he went, the Bible says he was able to preserve the people of Israel. The importance of that is so mind-boggling to me. Do you know that Judah is a brother of Joseph and that Jesus himself came out of the tribe of Judah? Did you know all the kings of Israel came out of the tribe of Judah and all priests came out of the tribe of Levi? All but one, Melchizedek. But the 12 sons form the basis for the 12 tribes of Israel. I'm not going to kill them, Joseph said. God's still going to use them. Joseph knew it wasn't about the dream. It was about the work and the purpose of his calling. God has me here because he needs me to bring his work to fruition. God has me here during this famine to bring food to those that are hungry. And God gave him the wisdom to guide Egypt and build up a large supply of food. I'm not going to let the events that happened to me, Joseph said, root up bitterness in my spirit to try to seek revenge. Maybe you've had a thought or an idea or a dream in mind of what you thought God wanted you to do, and maybe it was met by a brother or a sister with a tone of doubt. Maybe perhaps that dream that wasn't very important to you was cast down by a lie of why you couldn't do it or why you weren't fit to do the job. But I'm here tonight to tell you that God's providence, God's provision for his people as he guides them in their journey of faith is greater than any opposition the devil could bring you. It's greater than any scheme of jealous wrath someone could bring up against you. God's plan trumps all others because his plan goes greater than just you. His plan was greater than just beyond Joseph. God had a much bigger idea that went down through generations, and nothing was going to stop Joseph from what God's purpose was for his life. If you stay faithful to God, nothing is going to stop you either. See, in order for growth to happen, there has to be a place where you can grow. Some say had Joseph never told his brothers would never have sold him. But if he had never shared his dream, nothing would have pushed it into action and caused it to come to pass. I'm not saying everyone has a dream or a call right now, but I know some people here do. I want you to know that there are people here that you can share your dreams to, and they will help you. They will help enable you as best as they can to put you in a place where that dream can come to pass. Dream big, right? Say you have a dream of preaching a general conference, or because of the times, or singing at one. Maybe you are dreaming of playing an instrument at one. Maybe it's something entirely different, but you likely won't have a dream of being at a conference having never touched a microphone or never preached a message. And you might not get invited to because of the times if you've never taught a Bible study. But if you'll allow God to bring you to different places where you can grow, and you'll allow a mentor to help teach you, then you can use the experiences maybe as a Bible study, or maybe as a home missions church, or maybe as a daughter work, to build the skills necessary that God has given you, but build them beyond where they're at to be used at a big conference. In closing, if the musicians will come. The dream can take a lot of time to develop. Sometimes we can even deceive ourselves into thinking that a small role as maybe a helper in Potiphar's house is insignificant. Maybe we can feel locked up in a prison without the freedom and authority we thought we would have. Maybe the belief in the dream has died in the pit. But all experiences we go through in life can be used as experiences to learn and grow, to be better individuals for God and for others. If you'll stand, please. Don't let the confusing situations that can't be explained destroy your belief in your God-given dream. Perhaps it's because it's camp month, but I remember how many callings were given to the story of Joseph. How much encouragement was given to young ministers during their hardships, and even to the older ones. Just know that if you have a dream, you can remember. Many here can help you find a calling and a purpose. The harvest is so plenteous, and the laborers can sometimes be few. But know that God needs you, and that we need you. If you'd like to pray for a revision of your purpose, I'd invite you to come down here. If you can't even remember the dream, but remember that you had one, we'd ask that you come down and pray. Ask God for a reminder of your purpose. Ask God for a refocused energy into what he's called you to be. Amen.
Your love is great. I'm growing.
trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Take my life, 'cause I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My God, you never will, and I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh may fail. My God, you never will, 'cause I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh may fail. My God, you never will, and I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I give you my life. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's no good. Your love is dead. I'm broken inside. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, and my God, you never will. And I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. And give me to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Oh. And give me to trust what you say, that you're good and Lord, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Lord, give me to trust what you say, that you're good and Lord, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life, my life. Lord, give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good, Lord, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. And I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, my God, you never will.
Praise God. Praise God. That's a great word, church. Sometimes in our lives, God gives us dreams, and sometimes it's easy to lose track of the dream because of the circumstances. But there's many people in here that God has given dreams to, and we need to hold on to those. Amen? Praise God. Pastor asked me to remind everyone that we have service this coming Sunday. Sunday, 10 a.m., we have our classes, Sunday school classes, and 11 a.m., we have our church service. If you're a guest here, we want to invite you to either come during Sunday in person or online. You can see our service over the web. Again, thank you for coming. Have a great night.